What would you say is the best picture of Christianity? What would you say is the best demonstration, the best example of Christianity? Well, Paul, in 1 Corinthians 13, he makes no bones about it, that the best demonstration, the best example, the best picture of Christianity is love. Now, we would say that love is a feeling. I fell in love or I fell out of love. Paul says it has nothing to do with a feeling. He argues that it is an action, not an emotion. It's a decision. It's a choice. And you do it whether you feel like it or whether you don't feel like it. Now, to understand the context, you go back to chapter 12, and he's talking about spiritual gifts. He says the Holy Spirit gives believers, divine sovereignly, he bestows upon them spiritual gifts. And spiritual gifts are great. But then notice chapter 12, verse 31. He says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So in the atmosphere of spiritual gifts and how the Holy Spirit has given all of us a different or sometimes several spiritual gifts, he says the best spiritual gift you can have and the spiritual gift that you should seek above all others is love. Now, he's not talking about our earthly kind of love. He's talking about the heavenly, divine kind of love. So this morning, three truths about love. Sermon I'm entitling, the greatest of these is love. First truth is this. Notice the evaluation of love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, have not charity or love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though the Corinthians were Greeks who prided themselves in their great oratorical ability. Plato and Socrates and Aristotle, they were all Greek people. And they just thought it was great to be, you have these great oratorical speaking abilities. So he says, if I have the ability to speak with great talent of men, or even I have the ability to speak of angels. So some people say, oh, he's talking about oratorical ability because of who he's talking to. Others people say, no. He's talking about the gift of tongues. He says, hey, if you have a heavenly divine gift so that you can speak in some unknown language and you don't have love, you are like a sounding brass. You remember that show, whatever it was, where they have the gong? Where it's just, you were just a big old gong. Nobody likes gong music. Even these kids in these cars when they're vibrating and bouncing. Nobody likes like this gong and gong. Nobody likes that. That's what he's saying. You can have all of the linguistic abilities in the world, but if you're not loving, you're just making racket. Look at verse 2. Though I have the gift of prophecy, the ability to declare God's truth. Sometimes God gave the ability to declare the truth in advance and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. So a deep understanding of God's word, the spiritual truth, so that I can pull things out and I can speak a word that people don't even know about. Knowledge. And look at this next one. Though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains. Probably not talking about Grandfather Mountain, saying, Grandfather Mountain, move over 6 feet. He is probably referring to impossible situations. So even if I had had the ability, all faith, so that I can remove all of these impossible situations, if I don't have love, charity, I'm nothing. Look on verse 3. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, give my body to be burned, have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Now we love generous people. So he says, if I give everything in my bank account away, every time I get paid, I just give it all away. And even if I am burned at the stake, give my body to be burned, and I don't have love, what good is it, is what he's saying. So Paul says, speak eloquently, think brilliantly, behave confidently, give generously, die valiantly, but if you don't have love overflowing from your life, you're just making racket. And far too many Christians just make a bunch of racket. Church at Corinth was great about bragging on their spiritual gifts. Oh, well, we have this spiritual gift, and we have this spiritual gift, and we have this spiritual gift. And Paul comes in and says, forget your spiritual gifts. How's your love? So I come to you, and you say, hey, I've been in Sunday school. Sunday school's a very good thing. I've been in Sunday school every Sunday since I was 3 years old. Great. It's a good thing. How's your love? You say, yeah, but you understand. I give, and I visit, and I do this and this and this. Great. How's your love? Lucy is standing with her arms folded, a mean, mad, ticked off look on her face. Charlie Brown looks at her. Lucy, you got to be more loving. What the world needs is love, sweet love. You got to let yourself loosen up a little bit so that you can show and express more love. Lucy turns around, she slaps Charlie Brown, and she says, the world I love is people I can't stand. A lot of us are like that. We like the world, but expressing love to all those people, you know who God expresses his love for? You and me and all those people. Number one, he says, the greatest gift is love. The evaluation of love. Secondly, notice, and I'm just going to go through these fast. He gives us the evidence of love. So he says, okay, what does it look like? If I demonstrate this, what does it look like? And you look at the next three, four, five verses, and he just gives us some examples of it demonstrated. Now we say, well, I love football, apple pie, Chevrolet, I hate Ford. Hey, I love pizza, that's what I love. No, Paul's talking about a whole different kind of love. He's not talking about a selfish human kind of love. He's talking about a divine love. Look at verse 4. Charity or love. It suffers long. It means it's patient. So what does love look like? Love is patient. Takes a long time to get angry. It's a long suffering. Best example of this, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. God's not willing that any should perish. All should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. Not slack concerning his promises, men count slackness, but it's long suffering to usward. Not willing that any should perish. He's long-suffering to usward. Love gives a lot of grace before it gives any grief. How are you on this matter of love? Love is patient. Secondly, he says love is kind. twin sister of long suffering is kindness. Mark Twain says, kindness is a language the deaf can hear and the blind can see. Kindness, it's a hard thing to give away, because when you give it away, people give it right back to you. Love, it's patient. It has a long fuse. And then it's kind. So he goes from two positives, and then he gives us eight verbs on how we should not behave. So this is what love doesn't do. Love doesn't envy. Charity envieth not. It's not jealous. Jealousy implies being displeased with the success of others. True love desires for other people to succeed. And when they're about to beat us in the race, we don't stick out our foot and trip them. We celebrate them. Charity is not jealous. Someone said of Theodore Roosevelt, he wanted to be the bride at every wedding, the corpse at every funeral, the babe at every christening. Why? Because he was just a jealous dude that always wanted to be the center of attention. Love's not jealous. It says, it vaunteth not itself. Love doesn't brag. Doesn't lift itself up. It's big-hearted. It's not big-headed. The more loving you become, the less boasting you should do. Life is not all about you, and you should not constantly be pushing yourself up. And love doesn't brag. Love is not arrogant. Verse 4, suffers long, kind, envies not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. And you say, what's the difference between those two? One, it vaunts not itself. The other one is puffed up. Puffed up refers to grasping for power. It's more serious than bragging. It's a person who wants praise. It's a person who's pushing himself into a leadership position. So I got to have that position, and I got to have that position. And he is pushing and trying to exalt himself, push himself up. Look at the next one, verse 5. Does not behave itself unseemly. Neil Jackson translation. Love is not a jerk. It's not rude. It's not crude. It's not unkind. Love seeks to build others up, not tear other people down. One of my weaknesses, and I'm very thankful for our new cell phone towers around here, but when I have a problem with my cell phone company and I have to call them, and they, of course, keep me on hold for like 48 minutes. And when they pick up the phone, they have transferred me to Pakistan or some far off place, and the person does not speak but every fifth word of language that I understand in North Carolinian. So I struggle being kind. That's what it's talking about. Real love never tries to put people down. It's always respectful. Next one. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeks not her own. Not self-centered. It's not all about you. Not looking out for numero uno. Not possessive. Not demanding. Not stubborn. Not dominating. Love doesn't insist, I got to have my way, and if I don't get my way, I'm going to pout. Love defers to others. One of his greatest critics, one of his greatest enemies, Abraham Lincoln, was Edwin Stanton. Literally, he would write op-ed newspaper articles just ridiculing and making fun of our president. Called him a clown. Call him the original gorilla. Well, Abraham Lincoln, he needed a secretary of war, and they couldn't find one. Cabinet came to him and says, Sir, who do you suggest that we get? He said, Edwin Stanton. And they were like, your enemy? The one that calls you a clown? The one that says you're the gorilla? You want to put him in that position? Why do you want to put him in that position? Lincoln says, because he's the best man for the job. And he did. When Lincoln was shot, Edwin Stanton, the story goes, came by and is looking over his corpse and said this. I'm not saying this. This is what he said. Looking down at our dead president. There lies the greatest ruler of men the world has ever known. What the verse is? Seeks not her own. A lot of us, we're looking out for what's best for us. We're never going to put somebody in a position that may threaten us or make fun of us or challenge us. Seeks not her own. Look at the next one. Is not easily provoked. You don't have to walk on eggshells around this person. Love is not exasperated by petty annoyances. Refuses to let somebody else get under their skin. Doesn't wear their feelings on their sleeve. It's not someone you have to, I don't understand this. My mother always used it. You don't have to handle them with kid gloves. I don't know what kid gloves are, unless that's the gloves kids wear. But you don't have to handle them with kid gloves. Paul says, is not easily provoked. Lady was married to an impossible husband. She decided, I'm going to show him the love of Jesus. So he got up one morning, came downstairs. She was waiting for him in the kitchen. Honey, I'm going to make you the best breakfast you ever had. What do you want today? Coffee, toast, grits, sausage, two eggs, one scrambled, one fried. I'll have it right up. Sure enough, here she comes. Coffee, toast, grits, sausage, two eggs. Sets it down in front of him. Guy says, wouldn't you know, you scrambled the wrong egg. Have you ever met somebody like that? Now, some of you ladies would take that plate and you would just put it in his face. You see what Scripture says? Is not easily provoked. My daddy would say, you can fight with a pig in mud, but both of you are going to get dirty and only one of you is going to like it. Sometimes I would get in the mud, though. Look on. Is not easily provoked. Thanks no evil. It's an accounting term. Love does not keep a ledger of evil deeds. It doesn't write down every offense and keep account of them to be settled later on. Love not only has a long fuse, true love has a short memory. Love forgives, and then love forgets. A lot of us, we get historical, and we say, yeah, but remember on our honeymoon what you did 32 years ago? And remember what you did 22 years ago in 5 days? And remember what you did? And you just can't start whipping them out, whipping them out, whipping them out. Verse says, thanks, no evil. Puts it behind you. Verse 6. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, rejoiceth in the truth. So love doesn't jump up and down and say, ooh, wait till I text the girls and tell them what kind of news I got. You're not rejoicing over iniquity. You're rejoicing over truth. Verse 7, it bears all things. It has to do with covering something, like a roof covering. Protects from the element. So true love, it tries to, let me do this. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Above all things, have fervent charity. Have fervent love among yourselves. For charity shall cover a multitude of sins. It doesn't broadcast bad news. It goes the second mile to protect someone's reputation. Love doesn't air the dirty laundry. And you shouldn't be trashing your spouse. Remember the old preacher who pulled me aside? We were engaged. He told me this. He said, "Are you sure you're supposed to marry that girl?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Then don't talk about her." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "No. Don't talk about her, period." He said, "Your parents don't need to hear it. And her parents won't believe it. Don't talk about her. She's never done anything wrong, so I've never had to talk about her." Don't talk about your spouse. Period. Love them. Love them unconditionally. Don't go tearing them down. Look at verse 7. Bears all things. Believes all things. Gives the other person the benefit of the doubt. Believes the best in people. Love says, "Lord, I'm willing to wait for the evidence before I make a decision." It's believing the best in people, not the worst in people. Jesus did this with Peter. He did it with the woman caught in adultery. "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." It bears all things. It believes all things. Love hopes all things. Hope is a step beyond believing. When all the facts are in, there are times you face situations that faith is not possible. You're just hoping for the best. That's true love. And look at the last one. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's a military term. To hold a position at all cost, even to death. That's what they did at the Alamo. They just said, "We are going to fight till our death, if need be." That's true love. Evaluation of love, evidence of love. Thirdly, notice the endurance of love. Charity never fails. Prophecies, they're going to fail. Tongues, they're going to cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Do you ever wonder why love never ever fails? 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. God is love. It's who He is. It's His character. It's His essence. So if love were to fail, God would have to fail. So if God is never going to fail, love is never going to fail either. Hallelujah. Let me give you one other verse and I'm done. Look down at verse 13. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. Greatest of these is charity. Greatest of these is love. You know, when we get to heaven, we won't need faith. Our faith will have become sight. When we get to heaven, we won't need hope. All of our hopes will be reality. We will have everything that we need. But in heaven, love will be there, and love will be there for all of eternity. That's why faith, hope, charity, the greatest of these is love, because there will always, always, always be love. So here's my question for you. How are you doing on the love factor today? How would you rate yourself? How would your spouse rate you? His tank's about half full. Maybe about eighth of a tank full. Or would she say, you know, the red light's on. The dashboard is saying, low fuel, low fuel, low fuel. How are you in this matter? Love. There's one other thing I need to clarify. The Greeks, they had two words for love. First one was eros. It was a sexual kind of love between man and woman. Second word they had for love was phileo, which is brotherly love. We get our word for Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. It was the affection that two friends would have, nothing inappropriate, but just, he's my best buddy and I love him. That was the two primary words they used. But Paul, all throughout this chapter, he's not talking about a sexual love. And he's not talking about a brotherly kind of love. He used a different kind of word. Agape love. It's a heavenly love. It's a divine kind of love. It's a decision kind of love. It's a choice kind of love that you love whether you get it back or not. You just love and love and love and love and love. That's what he's talking about here in this verse. How many of you growing up had used one of those white containers of Elmer's glue? I want to see your hand. How many of you growing up in school used it up there in the back? How many use Elmer's glue? Thank God for Elmer's glue. I don't know who Elmer was, but evidently he's rich because all of us use Elmer's glue. It was a sticky potent. I don't know how he came up with it, but it was a sticky stuff. But for it to work, you had to get it out of that container. As long as you left it in that little bottle with the orange cap, pardon my grammar, didn't do jack. But if you turn it up, now our teachers would tell us, you just open it up a little bit, you just squeeze a little bit. My brother and I, we'd open it up all the way because we want a honking big portion of Elmer's glue and we would just put it down. It's true with love as well. Love is not like a sponge you're just supposed to soak up. You're supposed to be giving it out. You're supposed to be going around and sharing it. Make the phone calls. Make the visits. Go in and do it to the most unlovely people because that's what Jesus did for us. Jesus died on the cross, not for his friends. Jesus died on the cross, not for loving, kind people. Jesus died on the cross. It was people that hated him, people that plotted to destroy him and everything that he was about. Hated his guts. Spat upon him. Ripped out his beard. Put the spear in his side. Listen to this verse. John 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you. That you, agape love, heavenly love, divine love, one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. Someone just come to your mind. That means I gotta love that person. The devil didn't bring them to your mind. God did. That means the difficult. That means the challenging. Aren't you glad that Jesus demonstrated his great love for you, the difficult people? Because none of us sought after God. We were all his enemies. The only reason we ever responded to him because he gave us the faith to do it. Maybe one of the best examples of living this out. Intensive care waiting room. If you've ever been to an intensive care waiting room, people's perspective just change when they're in that intensive care waiting room and they're there for a loved one and they're there for a while. You see, when you're there and you're there for a loved one and it's serious, it's life-threatening and it's you don't know if you're going to come out of there with a loved one or if you're going to come out of there with a corpse. People's perspective changes. It doesn't matter if you're the sanitation engineer, if you're a doctor, a lawyer, it doesn't matter. Everybody's just helping each other out in that intensive care waiting room. They're looking out for each other and being understanding and being kind. That's what Paul says. What's the best picture of Christianity? Is it this spiritual gift, or is it that spiritual gift, or is it that spiritual gift? Paul says, the best example of Christianity is that you love other people. How you doing on expressing divine love?